a man. They didn't make that kind of progress. It was only after Prophet Muhammad came with the Quran and connected man with his scientific destiny and connected it from scriptural basis. Then they saw the light and they understood that that religion was saying something scientifically to them, and that the destiny of man was not just moral, but his destiny was also scientific. But they made the terrible mistake of holding on to the same false idea that God is something evolving and man represents the highest stage of that evolution. They made the mistake. They kept to the same foolish idea. So then science came into the hand of a heathen, idolatrous, pagan, European savage. And they have oppressed themselves with their knowledge. They have killed the human urge in themselves with their sciences. If any of us will go to a decent school to learn the sciences, the first thing the professor will try to do is to tear down our belief in a reality above the material reality. They are promoters of race, of atheism. So the human being, the Caucasian man, has been able to make great strides. We have to give him credit. He has done wonders with the environment. But he's also to be charged with the shit that he's piled up on the earth. He has to be given credit for his good. But he has shit all over the earth too, and he's to be given credit for that too. Messed up the thinking of people. Messed up his own thinking, messed up other people's thinking. Confused social life. Broke down the basis of social life. Got people living like crazy animals with no concept of what their social life should be. He's responsible for that too. Right. So what am I saying? White man has been a trick. He's been tricked. The begging mentality has led him wrong. And there are many of them right now in the high order of the religious society. Many of them that think they have a divine obligation to give their lives, if they have to, for Mr. Begin. Yes. What should we do if we know this? I'm not playing the piano, man. I'm talking heavy stuff to you. Now, what should you do if you believe this and know this? What should you do? You should make up your mind that you will never again expose your senses to this world. That you'll keep your senses in your own grip, that you'll give your senses to Al-Islam, and you will never again trust your senses in this world. That's what you have to do. It's a pity. There's so much in the white people that is good, and that good is stifled by the crazy idea of them serving the world as the God force. devil of Muslims, we should be happy to know that what they have as a God concept, we have as a human concept. And God is much bigger than what they have as a God concept. What they have is nothing but a human concept. God has made the human being to evolve out of matter, to evolve up through the material forces, to evolve into the moral force. And God, because you're willing to accept to evolve into the moral force, then he connects you with the rational force. And you become the rational man with a hand to handle the tools of science. They're not talking about the coming of God. They're talking about the coming of human potential. Our religion tells us that their God is nothing but us reaching our potential. Yes. They go crazy with the knowledge because they think they're the God. The sensible person gets the knowledge. They don't go crazy. They improve the condition of the human being as well as advance the state of the material world. Yes. It's a pity that a few mad scientists have control. Some of these nice human scientists from the white race, they should be the ones with the control. Not these mad, crazy Judaic and Christian nuts. Should be some of these human scientists among the white race. They should be the ones up there in control. Oh, you say, well, what about us, Chief? You got a long ways to go, brother. Keep at it. You have to qualify yourself. You ain't ready to get no control or nothing yet. Start right with yourself and your home and your family and your babies. And then your neighborhood, your block. The black belt. Ghetto. Start there and work your way on up. But the white man, he has been free. He's been into it a long time. He's trained. He's gifted. He's blessed. He's fortunate. He has inherited a lot from his fathers. There are some good ones among them who could be more responsible in those top positions if they were there. Now, in concluding, we want to point to conditions that have brought about the retrogression of the human being on this earth in the West and wherever the Western influences have dominated. A human being, according to Scripture, he begins as a spiritual life. So, that's home. That's home plate. Spiritual life is home plate. The establishment, they give us activities that symbolically hold the basis of knowledge. The life foundations, the basis of knowledge. There is a orientation they're called epistemology. Epistemology. It goes way back in history. Way back in history. Ancient, an ancient knowledge. God has given the human being an intellect and urge in that intellect to know the truth, to touch base, to find reality. To get the knowledge that will enable him to come into free management of his life. Epistemology tells us that there is an urge in man, a historical urge has been in man, to find the knowledge basis for knowledge. Knowledge itself has a beginning. It has a reality. It has a real origin somewhere. Knowledge is not an imagination. Knowledge is not a creation of our imagination. Our imagination is a reflection of knowledge. Knowledge has its reality in what God has done in the creation. So this life, this sensitive creature we call a human being, he's naturally influenced by his environment to start growing toward his destiny, his full potential. And Scripture has described his beginning life, or his first life, as a spirit. Then God breathed into him of his spirit and he became a living soul. And before God breathed into man of his spirit, man was under the environmental spirit. That is called Eve. Adam, representing the original man that God created. Then from Adam, he made Eve. This is the Christian concept. And Eve is called Hawa, and is called also the mother of all the living. The mother of all the living. So she represents the spiritual side of the human life. And the Bible begins with the computation of time, or the calendar, days coming one behind another. And it doesn't say, and the morning was the first day. It says, and the morning and the evening was the first day. And each day proceeds from evening, right? And the name of the woman is Eve. And each day of the Bible proceeds from Eve, evening, being symbolic of spiritual life. Spiritual life. God created the man with a rational potential. But that potential had to come out through steps. And the first step was spiritual tests. The man had to meet the spiritual test. When the serpent suggested to Eve to do what God hadn't commanded, the serpent put Eve under the spiritual test. And her spirit went from what God said to the fine possibilities that were in the suggestion that the snake made. So she was spiritually enforced. She didn't have any rational. She didn't have no rationale for her actions. She was spiritually influenced to do the snake's bidding. You who are familiar with Genesis, you can follow what I'm saying very easily. You know the accuracy of what I'm saying. So she was spiritually influenced to do the snake's bidding. Something had happened to Adam. Adam couldn't even respond. How come? Because Eve had become his conscience. His conscience was once the original conscience that God gave him. Natural responses. Intelligent responses. But his emotions had taken him over. So he was lonely. And God gave him a mate. What is loneliness? An emotion. So his emotions took him over, began to dominate him. And Eve personifies that part of him that had took him over. So Eve responded emotionally to the suggestion of the snake, and Adam, being not strong enough in his original form to deal with his new emotional content, couldn't resist it. That's the Bible's discourse. Or intercourse. Or adultery. I don't know. Yes. But we do know that man, life comes here first, given to spiritual influences. The little baby is given to spiritual influences. As the baby grows up, it becomes rationally alert. In time, it'll become rationally alert. And it stop demonstrating an emotional orientation in itself, or an emotional domination in itself. It start demonstrating a rational domination in itself. Yes. And later on in its life, it becomes devotional. It wants to do what other people are doing. It wants to make the bed. It wants to cook something. It wants to do some work with the dad or the mama. Right? Becomes devotional. And we find that the devotional impulse then dominates the rational. Right? Yes. And pretty soon, society loses the rational impulse to the devotional impulse. And we're devoted to things that are not rational. We're giving our whole life to something that doesn't make much sense. Right? So a man evolves. He's tested at each level. If he's able to keep himself intact, because God has made the life to be consistent, has made the life to have continuity, to have tenacity. Right? Tenacity. The ability to adhere to its value. To adhere to his value. Now, if the first form had a value, he should be able to adhere to that value. Don't lose it. Just because you come into a greater one, don't lose the previous one. You need to keep the continuity of life. So if we can remain spiritual while coming into rational life, and then remain rational while coming into devotional life, then we are progressing as God intended us to progress. And then lastly, we say, look, I have a desire to do more than just serve or be devoted to others. I want to be over it. I think I am just as responsible as the next man. I want to be the boss. So the fourth step in this progression is to become ruler. Supervisor. The one at the top. As Truman says, the buck stops here. You remember President Truman? He said, the buck stops here. He wasn't like begging. Begging and say, give it to me, I'll give it to God and tell you what God said about it. Truman knew that Truman wasn't God and didn't have no direct line to God. Truman says, the buck stops here. Now, dear beloved people, look here, look at this. The danger for our spiritual life, our spiritual sensitivities, is that if we don't follow the plan that's implicit in our creation form, in our created form, we're going to be given to spontaneity, spontaneous kind of responses. You're going to respond without direction. Respond without a plan. The emotional makeup of our society, of the American people, can be characterized as spontaneity. Whatever we do, you know, just let the water, whatever we do, put it on the pot. Let's put it in the pot, you know. Put it on the stove. Nobody adjust the heat. Nobody say we want it to be at 212. Nobody controlling the heat. We look around, ain't no water in the pot. All the water balled out. Nobody saying what heat, just up. All the water balled out. No spirituality. Say, hey, where's spiritual life? Well, nobody at the controls. All the spiritual life balled out of the pot. Here we go and look, they ain't balling at all. It's just they're dead. They ain't doing nothing, just there. Ain't even steaming a little bit. Ain't even warm, cold. Look again, it's frozen. Say, hey, I want to make tea, and all the damn water's turning to ice. Nobody watching it. Nobody at the controls. That's how our spiritual life is in this society. It's given to just uncontrollable circumstances, not to direction. So we are hot-spirited at one time, without our planning it, without our being aware of what's going on. All of a sudden, we just hot-spirited. Everybody boiling and bubbling. Then another time, everybody warm, and they just so sexual, the age of Aquarius. Oh, let me kiss your knee. Good morning, love, peace. May I kiss your leg? You know that crazy stuff went on. I had a friend named Leroy. He walked down the street. Some crazy peace girl walked up to him. She said, love and peace, and kissed him in his mouth. Sexual kiss. And he was crazy enough to follow her. He ended up buying her a car. Because he said, I didn't want to walk around in the street by myself at night. He bought her a car. This is facts, man. See, so nobody was at the control of the water. No one was directing the spiritual life for that person, for the society. So it goes crazy. It becomes nothing but spontaneity. Spontaneity, I think, is a concept in jazz, too, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't jazz a concept of spontaneity?
Yes.
You know, you start off reed. And then you get emotional and you lose sight on everything. They gone now, man. His senses ain't nowhere in order. Now we come to the moral level, the moral stage in our evolution. We come to this point, what did they give us to stop that? They have to kill it. What did they give us to kill that? There's a term called agnosticism. Agnosticism, you look it up in the dictionary and you think it doesn't apply to most of the people in America. But it does. Agnosticism is this attitude that nobody has the right to say what is right or wrong. Nobody has the right to say God exists or either he doesn't exist. It's just a matter left to individual judgment. There's no basis for saying God exists, no proof that he doesn't exist, so it's a question we must dismiss. Isn't that agnostic?
Yes.
Yes, you see? So moral questions are the same. Moral is a matter for the individual. Whatever is morally right for you as an individual, that's acceptable. So that kind of idea came in under agnosticism. And it has confused life for us. It has confused reality for us. It has given us to a life that has no moral direction, no moral constitution anymore. We're afraid to even question immoral behavior in people. Some of us are afraid to even question the immoral behavior in our children. See, I don't want to hurt his growth. He has a right. That's what the society has sold us, right? Yes. This clock ain't right then. Now, let us go to the next. The rational. Here we're coming up, spiritual, moral, now rational. Now we come to the rational. What has been done to the rational? To the moral impulse, they say, nobody can establish what is morally right for everybody. Nobody has a right to do it. There's no proof that God exists.
is dismissed.
Now we come to the rational impulse and what they do with that. They take the people who are really qualified to make great rational strides that come to the college campuses, they take them and brainwash them with so-called material logic until they make atheists out of them. So here we have it. The direction that God wanted in our spirituality that is intelligent is killed by a purpose designed to give us to spontaneity rather than good direction. Then the moral impulse is killed by smothering it or dominating it with this false belief that nobody can establish a right to say God exists or that any moral constitution should be in the life. It is left up to individual choice. So with that comes permissiveness, the general permissiveness we find in our families and in the society. Lastly, we come to the political urge. The political urge. Now, who is fit to rule after they have come through this kind of thing? Who's fit to rule? The spiritual life has been given to blind spontaneity. The moral life has been given to agnosticism. The rational life has been given to atheism. Who is fit to rule? Nobody.
That's right.
But the urge is there. So the masses are saying, we want a piece of the action. The masses are saying, we want a piece of the rule. We want to have something to say about the shape of our lives and its destiny.
Yeah.
But they are not qualified to rule because they have come through that kind of process of destruction.
That's right.
So now we see it clearly.
That's right.
And God has blessed you with me to know the deep sciences. I wasn't educated in their high schools. I wasn't educated in their colleges. God has guided me to the knowledge. And we don't call anybody but our friends. If you're not a friend of what we represent, we'll see you later. So I thank you very much for your time and patience. We hope that we'll make good use of good sense when we get it. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We'd like to greet our radio audience with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. We're happy for the opportunity to speak to you, and today we want to speak on the need to acquire more strength for the better management of our personal lives. In our society today, life is perhaps burdened more than it has been burdened in the whole history of man. The wife has more today to do, if she will accept her responsibilities, than she have ever had in the history of America. The father, if he will accept his responsibilities, he has more to occupy his time than he have had in the whole history of life here in America, and perhaps in the whole history of life on earth. The children, they are also overburdened. They have more demanding their attention in their lives today than they have ever had since the history of man. With this great increase in demands on our personal lives for our personal attention, we have to increase our ability to manage ourselves. It's a shame that society is not doing more to educate the individual, to give him knowledge that will enable him to be more productive with the tools of his own human potential. There should be some programs that are given to all the people all the people in the communities, over television, and by whatever other means that are open to us, there should be some way and some programs carried out to bring common sense knowledge back to the members of society. I recall when parents used to be greatly disturbed if they didn't see some kind of order in their children's lives. I remember when parents used to say, if you don't straighten up this mess, when I come back, I'm going to give you a whipping. But now, parents, children, husbands, wives, children live in chaotic conditions, chaotic situations, and have become so used to it that they don't even show any sign at all that they are disturbed. We can't live in environments that are confused and expect to have minds that are not confused. We can't live in a situation that shows no sense, no intelligence, no organization, and expect to be able to function intelligently in society. It just won't work. In order for us to function intelligently in society, we have to have intelligent environments. An intelligent environment is an environment that reflects intelligence and shows that some intelligent life is in that environment and responsible for the state of that environment. I'm speaking about the home specifically now. So many of us live in homes that are more destructive to our intelligent makeup than anything that's going on in the world. If you have to wake up and open your eyes and see the coat where the glass should be, the glass where the coat should be, the medicine where the toys should be, the toys where the food should be, everything out of order, no sense of order or arrangement in your home or in your room. If you have to open your eyes on a scene like that every day, it's a miracle that you're able to go out and do anything with any kind of sense or with any kind of intelligent grasp of what you're doing. It is. It's a miracle that we can go out of our homes, go out of these confused and terrible homes that are so confused in terms of where things should be, that they represent one great chaotic mess. To go out of those homes and function intelligently is a miracle. It's only God. God has given the human being tremendous strength. And it's because of demand on us. We know we got to go to work, so I go out there and I go to work. And you know, you go to work, you don't find a situation like that. When you go to pick up your tool, you don't have to pick up a pork chop or a rib that somebody chewed on last night. But many of us go back to our home and we go to pick up our tool and we pick up a rib somebody chewed on last night. The tool is under the stove or in the refrigerator or maybe outside on the porch. Nobody brought it back in the house. And in the toolbox is the rib that somebody ate on last night. You know, the life is just all mixed up. It's one jumbled mess. What has brought about this condition? The overcrowding of life, putting too much demand on the individual. Women in the past, say 30 or 40 years ago or less maybe, they didn't have so many things to do. I remember my mother, she would get up. First thing she would do is go to the washroom. She had some sense of direction in her life. She had some sense of plan in her life. First thing my mother would do, just like clockwork, consistently, without failure, she would get up and right away she'd go to the washroom. After she'd come out of the washroom, next place she would go to the kitchen. And she'd start fixing something for the children. When she was through with the kitchen, she was through with the kitchen. But now, we come here at night, 12 o'clock, and the job that was started this morning is still in the kitchen.
They don't finish with the kitchen. My mother, she finished with the kitchen. Because she wasn't as burdened as these women are today. She didn't have all of this stuff in her life. So she would finish with the kitchen, and the next thing she would do, she'd look at the order of the house. She would start getting the furniture. If anything was out of place, she'd start putting it in place. She would sweep if it was needed. She would dust if it was needed. She would have the children help her get things in order. She would tell the different children what to do. You do that, you do this. Until everything was right and straight. Till the whole house was in good shape and in order. And it didn't take her long. I guess it took maybe an hour, 2 hours at the most, for all of it. The floors were cleaned so easily. She would take the dust mop and she would put a little stuff on it, that red stuff. Furniture oil or something. I forget what they call it, but I remember it. She would put a little bit and she'd put a little bit on the mop. She'd take the dust mop and she'd run it up under the bed. You'd be lucky now if you can get a screwdriver up under the bed.
That's
right. So tight up under the bed. All kind of junk up under the bed.
Oh,
the world has changed. There's greater pressure on our lives. We have to be aware of this. You know, it's one thing to live in maddening situations and know you're living in maddening situations and living in maddening situations and think you're living in good, normal situations. The first thing for us to do and be able to come to better grips with the challenge in our life, the challenge for modern families, modern life, is to realize that the conditions that most of us live under are maddening conditions. Life shouldn't be so crowded. Life shouldn't be so congested. The home environment shouldn't be so cluttered. You can't hardly walk around. Great men that conceived what life should hold for them came up with the term and expression living shroud. It means space in which to live. And man went forward to get himself living shroud, space in which to live. The trend in the material appetites of the people now are depriving us of living shroud. We don't have space in which to live. Too much furniture in the bedroom. Too many things in the bedroom. Too many things in the living room. Too many things in the kitchen. You don't have any place to walk. No wonder so many of us like to go back to jail. There's more living shroud in the jail than it is in some of our homes. So we have to do something about it. And the first thing we should do is accept that this is a serious problem. And then begin altering the home environment for life. Every time we see a new article on television, if it appeals to us, we want to buy it. Every time a little child sees a new toy that the company has invented, he wants that toy. The toys have already moved him out of his bedroom. And now they're about to move us out of our bedroom. And we'll keep just buying toys. We need the old healthy habits that we used to have. I remember as a child, we used to get a lot of kicks out of taking an old pair of roller skates and getting us an old piece of wood, 2x4. And we'd take that roller skates and we'd put it in the fire until we burnt the rubber out of it that holds the wheels stiff. So the wheels would be flexible, and we put that on the front of the scooter so we can turn, you know. And we put the other part of the skate on the end of the scooter. And then sometime we'd find just the old box, apple box or something, or orange crate, that would make us a nice compartment for the front. And we would sometime find some old oil cloth or something that mama didn't want, you know, or something. And we would take it and paste it all over the scooter and maybe find some old feathers and stuff and pop bottle tops and different things. Cat eyes and some foxtails. And we'd put us a little soft pillow on the inside and take little brother and put him up in there, man, and give him a cat-like ride all over town. And we were happy
We got more out of that because we were doing something creative and productive. But now the child does nothing but say, I want that. Industry is doing the work. Industry is doing all the work and leaving nothing for our children but foolishness, material greed. We have to do something about this condition in our lives. I had a hard time when I got a little bit more money and my children started asking for more toys, and I said no. My wife looked at me like she said, man, you are cruel. Now, I know you got enough money to buy that thing for the boy. So I made a condition. I said, if you want, I said, look, you got 5 cars already. If you want another car, go and give one to a poor boy that ain't got no toy, that ain't got a car. I said, you ain't going to have no more than 5. Now, if you want another one, you go find a boy that ain't got one and give it to him, and then I'll get you another one. That was a rule I made in my house. Oh, you hard man. No, I'm a kind man. We destroy the human nature of our children when we attach their whole life to nothing but toys and materialism. We got to keep them in touch with the human life. Let him know that some other child doesn't have a toy at all. Some other child doesn't even have a toy, one car. Now here you got 5 and you want another one. And every time we get one of these things, it's $2, $2.50. Some of them got batteries. The battery run out every few days. It's $2 or $3 every week for batteries, you know. We have to check this thing in our lives. Many of us don't know that the problem we have as men and women, our husband and wife, is because of the insane life that we allow our children to have. We don't know. A lot of times we don't know from where we are striking. We just have to strike out at something. We don't know what created it. We need to think about this life situation. If we get our homes in better order, give the children more intelligent supervision in their lives, you'll see husband and wife will come into a new kind of relationship. Oh, I know. I believe thousands of husbands and thousands of couples right here in California, if they would accept that kind of understanding of their lives and begin to do something about it, I believe thousands of couples could come into, oh, a new romance. Oh, I can see them now kissing each other before they go to bed. Good night, sweetheart. Good night. Waking up, good morning, darling. How are you? And most of the homes we hear that now is fighting words. Say, good morning, darling. How are you? You want to kill him or her, whoever's saying it. You want to kill him. Because you know they don't mean that at all. The way you... that now is fighting words. Say, good morning, darling. How are you? You want to kill him or her, whoever's saying it. You want to kill him. Because you know they don't mean that at all. The way you neglect each other, the way the man neglects his woman, the way the woman neglects his man. Cruel. Insensitive. Thinking about nobody but self. So that person wake up in the morning and say, good morning, darling. Say, what are you trying to say? What are you playing with me? You playing with me? Bam!
That a bit. There you go. Now I ain't going down to the police department. Full of wife abuse or husband abuse. The fellow was on TV the other day, and he was one of those singers. In fact, he was a great entertainer. I can't think his name. But they say he was the one responsible for making a star out of his wife. And his wife is coming back into the business now. And yes, Tina Turner. Ike is his name, I think. Yes. And they asked Ike, say, yes, sir, we heard that you struck her. Did you strike her? Did you strike your wife? He said, I can't recall it. He said, I can't recall that that happening. He said, but I know she struck me. See, I was struck. That's life, isn't it? That's life. But we want to change it. And the way to change it is to reduce the burden that's on every individual because of the greed that's in the establishment. The industrialists. They don't care what's happening to family life. They don't care what's happening to the human being. Very few industrialists are sensitive to the social needs of the family. So they destroy the social pattern of the family just to sell you more of their products. So we have to understand that and take control of our own life. Parents have to become more responsible for the future shaping of the children's lives. That's where to begin. And if the husband and wife can accept that they're going to do something about that, and the wife trusts the husband to speak in the good interest of the children when he speak, and not be so sensitive to him as a role figure that wants to assert some dominance over her, and a man shouldn't be too sensitive to his wife, seeing her as a competitor, competing with him for his role and dignity. If we can just get by all these crazy hang-ups that society has given us and work for the common interest and realize that ain't nobody no domineering or no God over the other, that everybody have to, at times, accept a subordinate role. Now, there are situations that we face sometimes in our home life that require that the man take a subordinate role. The man shouldn't impose himself on the family and just insist upon having all the decisions in the family life. He's not as sensitive to the need of the little children as the mother is in most cases. The mother is more sensitive to the need of the little children than he is. But if he wakes up and realizes, before she wakes up and realizes, that society has knocked out her sights, she should at least respect his courage to come to her and tell her that the family order is in chaotic mess. And the world is responsible for it. That sells us these crazy ideas and too much materialism in our lives.
Right.
Say, baby, we want more of this in the bank and in the business and less of it at home to deprive us of living strong. All that money they're spending in new radio sets, new record players, new records, new pieces of furniture, new lamps, new TVs. Some people want a TV in their own. The money that they're spending on that, look what it could do in a bank account. Well, you have enough to put to get some of those big interest papers. Where you have enough money coming back from the returning to you to offset inflation. You could do wonders if you just convert all of those extra records and extra TVs and extra radios and extra furniture and extra toys and extra socks and extra shirts and extra drawers, extra hats and extra coats. If you convert all that stuff into some money saving account, if you stop putting it there and start putting it in the bank, you can draw some good interest on your money and you can get up off the ground. Yes, that's what we want to do. We want to make sense out of our lives again.
And to make sense of our lives again, we have to come to some kind of order, some kind of plan, some kind of intelligent plan for our lives. We have to come under some authority greater than ourselves. We can't make it alone. Maybe you call it Jesus, maybe you call it something else, but it has to be authority greater than us. We have to come under Allah. We have to come under the Lord God, Creator, who has all power, who has created the world, so that when we are involved in the material things, are involved in the created matter that He has made, we will be conscious that there is a designer over this, that there is a plan for this, and we will be more intelligent in our involvement. But if we have no kind of perception that this is an orderly world designed for intelligent life, to evolve intelligent life, and that there is some authority bigger than us, if we don't have any kind of awareness or recognition like that, we're in trouble. By ourselves, we can't make it. The industrial forces, the commercial interests, snaps our sights away. Just snap the light out, and we're finished. Pretty soon, if we got money, we're not getting the benefit of it. We're oppressing ourselves with the goods that our money has bought. Too many cars, too much demand on us. So what you got to say? Say, darling, can't you stay home tonight? So you know we haven't had any time with each other for 2 weeks. I work nights and you work days. So now that we got a little break, say, can't you stay home? No, I can't, dear. I got to go put the clothes in the cleaners. I got to go have the car washed. I got to take the other one and have it repaired. I got to get the tie fixed on the third one. I got to put the TV set in the shop. I got to mow the grass. I got to empty the bathroom so we can get to the toilet. So he got too much to do. On that one day off, he got too much to do to be with his wife. Or it could be the other way around. She has too much to do to be with him. And most of us, we are more out of work than the woman is. So when she gets a day off, we wondering what's wrong. His mama must don't love me at all. So I ain't seen her in so many days. She been busy running in and running out all these days. Now she's off. And she ain't got no time for me. She ain't got no time for you. She can't have time for you. She got to wash 10 pair of stockings, 20 pair of drawers. She got about 20 sets of silverware dishes to clean. Only two in the family. But they done dirted up about 20 glasses. 20 plates. The sink is running over with dirty dishes. Like they had a conference last night or something. But again, that's the fault of the society. They encourage us to get more. If you have a family of two, you should have no more than four sets of dish silverware. Four sets of china. For a family of two. There's two of you. If you get two more people, you got four. You should never use more than two. Why use more than two? It encourages us to avoid work. So if you dirty up one, you're supposed to leave it dirty. That stays in the sink. And you go for another one. The next person that come in, they don't say, oh, I have to wash today. They look up and see first, is there another one? So they go up in the cabin and pull down another one. Now, we learn that the more you have, the more we postpone work. So pretty soon, two people got about 20 sets of china in their home. I ain't gonna wash the dishes. Well, I ain't gonna do it. And you can't blame them. You go to the sink, and there are napkins in the sink. They'd be washed, too. There's a Pepsi Cola can in the sink. They think it's supposed to be washed too. There's some bones and fat and okra and cabbage and everything is in the sink too. They think that's supposed to be washed with detergent too, you see. And it's because of not having a direction in our lives. Now I beg you who don't belong to a good church, come on down here to the mosque and let us learn how to live humanly again so we can have human lives. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. I believe we're off the air now. We thank you for staying over with us. It makes me feel more like doing the program when you're here. So thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم. Our announcements for today: we have a new edition of the Community Voice. This is the first edition, I believe, that's been printed up here. So there are copies at the table as you go out. So please see these, if you will, as well as the World Muslim News. We have copies of the Community Voice. This is the first edition of this particular news organ here in the Bay Area. So get your first edition copies. You may see them at the table going out. Also, the World Muslim News is there, and copies of Al-Kalam. ...are available in the Secretary's office or in the Treasurer's office following the meeting. California welcomes Imam Warthi Muhammad on April 17, 1982. The brochure committee extends to all believers in the Ummah the opportunity to give their best wishes and congratulations from the entire family to our leader. Your family portrait may be placed in the brochure for a nominal cost of $25. Photos will be taken by Brother Wali Muhammad on appointment only. Also, individuals may place their names on a patrons list for $5. For further information, please see Sister Elretha Rashid or Brother Abdul Shaheed Muhammad after the meeting. Also, on the brochure committee, there is a meeting of the brochure committee, a brief meeting upstairs in the blue room following the services this afternoon. So those of you who are interested, please attend and be involved with those activities. Thank you, Brother Abu Bakr. Brother Abu Bakr Majun just informed me that in addition to himself, along with Brother Wali, we have many other photographers in the community that will be giving assistance. So we appreciate that help. All potential Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, parents, and adult leaders, Brother Adib S. Abdul Musawir, Acting Scouting Committee Chairperson. The subject is the establishment of a scouting program in Oakland Masjid Muhammad. As a fully trained scouter adult leader, I have been asked to assist you in the formation of an effective boy scouting program. Good scouting, however, is a product of parents and other adults who have formed a scouting committee. To achieve this goal, a representative of the San Francisco Bay Area Council, Boy Scouts of America, will be present to assist us in our efforts. The meeting has been approved and will be held on Wednesday, February 10th, in the Blue Room at 7 p.m. So all of those who would like to support this worthwhile activity, again, the meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, February 10th, 7 p.m. in the Blue Room here at the Masjid. The Oakland Masjid Ensemble, to mark its second anniversary, will have with the West Coast Ensemble Conference. It will be held on February 20 to 21st at the Oakland Masjid Complex. It is open to all ensemble members, singers, musicians, and cultural artists. Registration forms are available. Please see Brother Abdul Wahid Taha. The collective buying announcement. Let me read first the announcement from the collective buying committee. The sisters who collect money for your orders are not responsible for making adjustments for previous orders. See either myself, Brother Adesanya, or Brother James Abdul Shakir. We will assist you with any problems or any difficulties. We know that you all buy food. Well, the message is especially for those of you who are buying food. We would like to ask you to purchase food through the collective buying program. try real hard to save $15, and you will feel the savings on your overall grocery bill. Then bring a friend. Come and place your orders on material, large storage barrels, spices, and most important, you can lay away for our freezer savings. Survey results also of 71 participants who helped to decide which choices we'll make available to the community will be available also at the collective buying table. The collective buying pickup for today is whiting fish, cabbage, and celery. You may get that in the Culture Center immediately following the meeting. The choices for next week are brown rice, small white beans, and a fruit in season. I'll read those again before we ask for your selection. Brown rice, small white beans, and a fruit in season. How many would like the brown rice? Please raise your hand. Okay, thank you. Small white beans, please raise your hand. Okay. Fruit in season, please raise your hand. The selection is fruit in season and brown rice. 2 weeks from today, inshallah, we hope to have halal lamb. This will be one of our major moves to try to meet the needs in the community. We will need you to try to save and be aware that this is what we are going for, and with your help, we'll be able to be successful. I'd like to make one announcement on announcements. Effective immediately, it is requested that all announcements that would like to be read on Friday Juma be submitted to the Secretary's office no later than 10 a.m. on Friday. The above procedure should apply to all announcements that are made on Sunday meetings as well, with the exception, of course, of those developments that happen and we can't plan for them. The earlier the announcements are in, the earlier we can make sure that some are not missed. Sometimes we get announcements as I'm standing up here, and it's difficult to ensure that everyone has the actual statement read they would like to have read. The other side of it is we need to make sure there's consistency in the announcements. So with your help, we'll make this an effective activity. Further, if there have been, written reports from all committee activities, collective buying, the treasurer's report on income and expenses, MPTA, the Claire Muhammad School, and all other activities, should be in the Secretary's office no later than the 10th day of the month following. This is to give us an opportunity of bringing together the information in our community. We need all of our active ingredients, CRAID, all of us, to work so that the information is shared throughout the masjid. We have a lot going on, a lot of important programs. We need to let everyone know what the information is and how they can benefit. There's been a change in one of the class times. The scriptural discussion class that has been beginning at 10:30 now begins at 10 and will go from 10 to 11:30. We want to remind you about the many different classes that are available in English, in social studies, in physical education. The classes are here. They're for your benefit. So please support them. I'd like to call up Brother Antar for an announcement on the momentous CRAID activity that went on today. Please give him your attention. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Prophet Muhammad is his last and final messenger to humanity. As-salamu alaykum. We'd like to report to our leader, Imam Warthi Muhammad, and to all my fellow Muslim brothers and sisters and guests that we went to one of the largest churches in Oakland today, a church who had probably more images than any church, and we had a very successful appeal. It was approximately, it was over 100 of us. We don't know exactly what the count was. It was a very orderly and peaceful appeal, and we walked in front of the church, and we stayed there. The pastor didn't want to let the people leave. So somebody came in. We took the wisdom of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and went ahead of the group into the church to see what was going on in the inside. And as we were going in, myself and Brother Ahmad Hassan, brother came from the street and told the deacon, the Muslims is down the street. It's 100 of them. They got signs and everything. They're going to picket y'all. They didn't know we were standing right there listening to it and said, yeah, that's good. And so we went inside and sat down. And we could tell that they knew. They knew all. They knew we were coming. They were aware. The pastor had a sermon ready. If it was the end of the world. So, and they should prepare for anything. And so we took a consensus of all the people in the line. We knew they weren't going to leave at 1. So we decided, we asked everybody, do you want to stay until they come out? And everybody said yes. So we continued to walk. And the police came, and the police explained to the people, to the deacons and the brothers, nothing we can do. That was their strategy. They were going to call the police on us. The police sergeant came and told them, sorry, nothing we can do. And so we just continued to walk, and then they finally had to come out. So we put the leaflet, we gave them the leaflet, and they watched it, they looked at the signs, and they left. And then shortly after that, we left. And it was very successful. And this is going to go on every weekend. Next week we have a church, doesn't have more images in this church, it has a lot of images, but it has many more people. So we need more and more people to come out and support Craig. And we knew that our leader would understand why some of us were late. And the scriptural discussion class, the reason it was pushed, it's 10 o'clock instead of 10:30, is to accommodate those people who want to go to Craig. It would be over at 11:30. The average church will let out at 1 o'clock. And then we'll be here by 1:15, inshallah. So that's our first report. One down. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. We have buttons out front, and everybody should leave with a button to defer the printing costs on California Welcomes Imam Wati Muhammad Day, April 17th.
After we have the prayer, dismissing prayer, I would like to see Brother Wafia in the office and Brother Mamluki. Thank you. So let us dismiss now with dua and fatiha, the opening prayer and closing prayer. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanirrahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.